We've come up to a blessed season. I know you guys know this. I need to explain. I feel the necessity to explain at least once every couple of years, sometimes every year, to folks that are relatively new in church and all that, because there's the possibility of some misunderstanding. I don't want there to be any misunderstanding. Long time ago, I'm talking about after Christ died for our sins and rose and went back to heaven. There are a bunch of Bible believers just like you and I who got things straight, but there was a monstrosity that started arising out of the body of Christianity. Eventually, it became known as the Catholic Church. But what happened before it was known as the Catholic Church is there was a certain massive body of Christians that apostatized and started going south. And they were part of the Roman Empire, and of course, we're affected and battle all the time, you know, some of the gods of Americanism. Well, imagine being a Christian in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was an empire of 1,000 gods, and 1,000 authorized religions. Literally, in the Roman Empire, if you registered your peculiar religion with the state and it passed their approval, with state tax money, they would build you a temple. They'd build you a church. And in the Roman Empire, there were legal religions and illegal religions. Bible believers were an illegal religion because they were monotheistic and they were very narrow. They said they were not plural at all. They were not diverse at all. They said there's one way to heaven, it's through Jesus Christ, period. And for that, Roman Empire killed Christians. Okay, they hated Jews as well, but they killed Christians for that reason. Now, what happened then is there was pressure on Christianity, and a bunch of Christians apostatized, and what they started doing was saying, and there are writings of a score of church fathers that along the lines of, our position of how Christians should deal with the heathen is not that we should separate, but that we should incorporate. We should incorporate their beliefs into our Christianity. That will make our Christianity appeal to them. And then, you know, by the fact that we bring these into Christianity, we will make them sacred. These old heathen pagan rituals will make them sacred. God will accept them. And we'll be a big happy family. All be Christians. As you know, in the 300s, Constantine made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. It wasn't very Christian. In fact, it wasn't Christian at all, but in name only. You say, well, what are you getting at, Brother Stevens? Well, the problem is there were a thousand pagan sects. You had the god of Yule. You had the god of Mithras. You had Asherah. You had Baal. You had Saturn, the gods of Saturn. And all these separate religions, folks, there were feasts and holy days and so on. And one of the continuing sagas in history was that around the winter solstice, there was this feast. It was true among the Yuleites, Y-U-L-E, yes, Yule log. That was a false god. It was true among Saturn worshipers, Saturnalia. It was true, with Mithraism. They all worshipped at this particular time of year. They had certain festivals and so on. Now, one of the things that was born was the worship of that was carried forth was the worship of Baal, the sun god. God is a sun god. It's interesting that the heathen worshipped the nativity of the sun at this time of the year. It's the winter solstice. All right. What happened is the Roman Catholic Church or the pre-Roman Catholic Church, before it was known as that as such, adopted all these things in and eventually worked them in. And, beginning in 400 or 500 A.D., they basically sanctified the worship, what has now become Christmas. Now, there's a couple of very important things that you need to understand, folks, that I don't have a lot of time to explain. We're not Pharisees here. And my wife and I, you know, I have the advantage of being nowhere near my family. And my wife is across the state from hers, and we're not all that close to them. Now, you know what all of you here are going to face? All of you here are going to face, you know, family gatherings. You face it, you know, you face it at Christmas, you face it at Easter, you face it all. And there's always pressure that comes with that. But I want you to understand something, folks. Just so you know, biblically, Christ wasn't born on December 25th. That was the day that Baal was born, supposedly. Baal, a false god. Okay, Christ was born, and you can show this several different ways, but Christ was born probably at the Feast of Tabernacles in September, October. Okay, now, the other thing is you need to understand this. Folks, where in the Bible does it command you to honor Christ's birthday? Okay, it doesn't. All right, so you say, well, what are you saying, Brother Stevens? Well, I'm saying, turn to Colossians real quick. Colossians real quick. A few verses to show you. I feel kind of bad because I'm not sure now that I shouldn't have taken more time. A lot of you are well instructed in this already. There are some newer folks that maybe wonder why we do things a certain way and how and all that, and I haven't gotten around to explaining to some of these folks within the last couple of years or whatever. So, you know, excuse the brevity. If you ever have any questions, I'm plenty happy to deal with that. But notice in verse 16 of Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to show you an important verse. I want to tell you this. This cuts both ways. If you don't know what that means, then I'll show you. Colossians 2:16. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day. Holy day? Put an I in the middle of that word. Respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of an holy day. Now, let me show you another verse. Let me put a couple other things together here. Look in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Just verse 15. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. And then notice the pillar and ground of the truth. What's the pillar and ground of the truth? The church. Okay. We're in church, right? I'm the pastor of this church. We got deacons in this church, and associate pastor in this church, and lots of church members in this church. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay? Now look, here's where I'm at. When I was young and zealous and had fire in my eye and was mean and narrow, when I learned that there was a heathen pagan connection to Christmas, I was really against it. Okay, really, really against it. I've grown older and hopefully it's not compromise. But I read a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 that says an idol is nothing. In other words, those back there, it's discussing eating meat that has literally been offered to false gods. And Paul said, as long as you eat with knowledge, as long as nobody else is offended, you can eat that. There's no damnation in eating something that somebody's prayed for and offered it up, you know, somewhere. You can't spend all your life worrying about that. Because why? Because an idol is nothing. Now, folks, listen. If you invite me over to your house and you have a Christmas tree, I want to tell you, it doesn't bother me at all. All right? Now, you need to know, it's helpful for you to know that Christmas tree was an idol in days past. It stood for a false idol. Okay? It stood for something. All right? And there'd be some here that may think that I have leaned back a little more towards the compromise position, okay? I can't please everybody. All right, I really can't. And you're going to have to hit your own balance. Like I said, I have the advantage of we don't have to deal with family a lot like some of you. There was a day that I know there are folks that sat in this room that sit this morning that when they heard these truths, and it is the truth that Christmas had, I mean, Christ, Mass, hello, that when, you know, that when they made that connection, I mean, when Grandma sent gifts in the mail, they sent them back, all right? Now, you need to think about that. You're interested, you're really going to send Grandma's Christmas gifts back. Will Grandma understand? And if she doesn't, is it worth it? Okay. So, to some, I perhaps am a compromiser. To others, I'm a mean, hard Pharisee. In the end, here's the joy in this thing. This is the joy. Let no man judge you in meat or drink in respect of the holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days. All right? Now, we don't have a Christmas tree at our house. I can tell you this. I have never had a Christmas card that offended me, sent to me. I like presents. Hint, hint. If you give me a green and red birthday or Christmas present, I will open it and keep it if it fits. All right? I mean, this is how unsanctified I am, all right? Because this is what I know. See, to me, Christmas means nothing. I'm serious. It's an inconvenience. Traffic's bad. Now I go to Walmart to buy deodorant, and it takes 45 minutes to check out. It's ridiculous. All right? It's an inconvenience. It never crosses my mind, Santa Claus is coming. It never crosses my mind. All right? So, you know, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I appreciate when folks think of me and or my wife or my kids. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, y'all's fellowship together, you know, I have no problem with it at all. I just want to say this. Here's the issue. My issue is that if you go and have a full-blown Christmas dinner with your family and they're lost and you're saved, if you ask me what I think you should do if invited to a big Christmas dinner, if they're lost and you're saved, you know what I think you should do? I think you should go. Now, if it's a booze party, if somebody's naked standing on the table dancing, now you should leave. But you don't have to leave because there's a Christmas tree or because somebody's passing out presents. Okay? Now, I'm relieved because my mom and dad would break the bank making a big Christmas, and we don't go into debt for Christmas. Okay? I don't spend money that I don't have, theoretically. And Christmas is one time that I'm pretty strict with it because I'm not going to spend, you know, $3,000 I don't have to, you know, give my kids and stuff, you know, all that they want and all that kind of thing. All right? Here's the thing, though. You know, you have to come to a balance on what the Lord wants you to do with this matter. Okay? Now, here's the deal. The church, though, is the pillar and ground of the truth. All right? 52 weeks out of the year, we stick our necks out and try to stand for the truth here. Okay? I am not interested in adopting in something that came from pagan sources. All right? Now listen, I'm not going to promise you that I won't preach a birth of Christ message on Christmas. If the Lord gives me a birth of Christ message and wants me to preach it, I'll preach it. I've preached Easter messages on Easter. And I've preached birth of Christ messages on you know, around this time of year too. Now, on the other hand, if I were you, I wouldn't expect to come in on Christmas, well, this year, Christmas Eve, and expect a nativity message. If you get one, you get one. And it's because, see, I have a hard time. I have a hard time coming up with sermons. Some of you, as much as I blab, you may have trouble believing that. But I work for all I got to get a sermon, and I am not about to dictate to the Lord what He should give me as a theme today. I don't preach Father's Day messages on Father's Day. I don't preach Mother's Day messages on Mother's Day unless the Lord gives me something. Okay? We're not going to have a Christmas tree. We don't have any idols in here, and I don't find any need to adopt that. You say, well, you could at least have, you could at least have, you know, a Christmas choir special. We could. On the other hand, listen, folks, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the birth, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is supposed to be real to you every day. And every Sunday is supposed to be a special day. Okay? We come in here every week and encourage you guys to sing and worship God in spirit and in truth. All right? You know, I'm not beyond being a little flexible with some things. I have an awful lot of grace with an awful lot of different opinions, but we're just not going to go out of our way, and we're not putting Santa Claus on the roof, and we're not going to hang mistletoe anywhere for anybody to get tempted by things. Okay? I mean, it's... And I want to make sure you understand that I don't want it to hurt anybody. It's just that as a church, we have a testimony, and we're going to stand here. Now, what you do in your family is your business. And you know what? Like I said, if you have a Christmas tree at your house and the house is fully decorated with all the little billion icicles and all that kind of thing, that's your business. And invite me over. I'll prove it. I won't be mad. I won't be offended. I'll sit in the same room as the tree. Never say a thing. Yeah, now, you have to make up your mind whether that's best for you. You have to make up your... I can't dictate everything. I don't come look in your refrigerator at what you've got for beverages. I don't look under your bed at your reading material. So I'm not going to dictate to you what you should do and then drive by your house and go, all right? I'm not. I really don't think that way, but it cuts both ways because you can't judge me either. I'm trying to do the right thing, trying to set the right example. I told my kids now, I said, we don't not have Christmas. Wait a minute, how should I phrase this? It's not because I'm a preacher that we don't do Christmas at our house. Somebody sends presents, I'll open a present, okay? If I were not a preacher, we would not have a tree. If I were not a preacher, it's not just an example. If I were not a preacher, I still wouldn't go into debt to get my kids all of the things that they want this time of year. Okay? Just so you know. So, I won't judge you. No, you don't judge me either. Let no man judge you, no matter what perspective he comes from. You make up your mind, you pray, he that doubteth is damned if he eat. You make up your mind what the Lord wants you to do in this very difficult season, and you're going to be uncomfortable, and you guys, many of you guys are going to be much more uncomfortable than me, because Marcy and I don't have family here, okay? So, you know, grandma being mad is not an issue. For y'all, it's an issue, and I can't tell you exactly how to do things. Let's stand. I'm going to give an invitation this morning. And I have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for a good morning. We pray you bless these folks. We kind of went late here, but hopefully for a good cause. We ask that you will remember and give us good, sound judgment and prudent discretion this time of year. We pray that you'll bless the service to come in Jesus' name. Amen.